Well, it's time again this week for another show here at AUFans.com. Our normal studio host, Keith Maxwell, is on assignment this week, and so it's just going to be Vic and myself. My name is Stan. I'm the other co-host, and but we're going to take a look at a few things this week, real briefly. Of course, we'll start out by saying Vic, it's finally great to have talk about a victory for a change. I never dreamt when the season began that we'd be sitting here 2-7. Of course, we've talked a lot about that each week on just what a unusual season this has been. But you know, we had a new quarterback yesterday, and I know it's probably tough to gauge exactly, you know, how good it obviously kind of started out a little bit slow even for Jonathan Walls, but I think overall it was a real positive experience having him in there. What did you think about Jonathan Wallace's efforts and just overall?
Well, okay, good, Stan. I'm glad again that we got a win. Obviously, maybe I figured out our problem. We had a scheduling problem. We just needed to schedule some more teams like New Mexico State. We might be 7-2 instead of 2-7. But
right.
You know, there for a while, I was thinking maybe we might be the worst football team in college football. But I think we found one that might be worse than us. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we just needed a new quarterback. You know, maybe you know Jonathan Wallace would have been the answer all along. But yeah, he started off a little slow, Stan, just like you mentioned, you know, and that made me a little bit concerned, you know, that, you know, of course, you know, he played well at the end of the Texas A&M game, but obviously there was no pressure at that point in time, and it, you know, the game was out of hand, and I'm sure A&M were subbing some guys in and those kinds of issues. But even Texas A&M substitutes, you know, you'd think would be better players than probably what New Mexico State brought to Auburn. So, you know, so I was disappointed, you know, with the way it started, but he's kind of settled down and got in a little bit of a rhythm and you know, got those got that first start out of his way, and it was a good win for Auburn. You know, so does that mean maybe now we can somehow pull an upset against Georgia? Well, I don't know. You know, probably not.
Well,
but go ahead.
We'll get into that in just a minute. Now, a couple of things I did want to ask you about Jonathan Wallace. Number one, I don't know if it was just me, but when we started the game, you know, he was up under center. Now, when he, you know, all previous when he's come in, he's usually been in that wildcat formation. He's been in the shotgun, and we've had some motion, you know, O-Mac or whatever. And, you know, and again, with him being a threat as a runner against A&M and where he's had success, he didn't line up exactly the way we started yesterday. That was one of the first things I noticed and you know, said that, you know, wait a minute. Let's start the guy in the shotgun and get him going, and he didn't look to me starting out as comfortable running it straight from underneath the center. Not to say that, you know, and of course that improved, but the thing I guess I like about the kid is, and I saw him interviewed too. I don't know if you've seen him interviewed yet, Vic, but he's sharp. I mean, he's the perfect kind of kid that you want playing for you, as far as I can tell. You know, via the media. I mean, he's I mean, you wouldn't think this kid was 18, had been playing high school ball a year ago. He amazes me at the poise he has, and he does bring an enthusiasm. And of course, something else I read somewhere about him that I've also noticed, right or wrong, he's not as indecisive. I mean, he makes the play he's gonna make. I mean, whether
right.
it's there or not. And I think that's one thing that just excites me about the guy. He actually just plays the position, and he doesn't have, I mean, if it's not there, he runs. If he thinks he sees it, he throws it, whether it's always there or not. So,
right.
But, you know, you know, we can kind of jump ahead. We got Georgia coming up. Obviously, Georgia, Auburn, nobody, you know, you really don't have to elaborate on that. Georgia has picked a couple of games like Kentucky.
I know where you're going with that, Stan. You know, Georgia come close to losing the ball game to Kentucky. And, you know, personally, I like to think that maybe Auburn's a better team than Kentucky. Obviously, we played Vanderbilt a closer game. You know, Kentucky lost at home 40-0 to Vanderbilt. And that brings up another thing when we get later talking about potential coaches. You know, I hadn't really heard this name mentioned much, but it's a name that actually would generate some interest for me, and that's Vanderbilt's coach. You know, Coach Franklin there has done a great job, I think. So it's one of those things where, you know, maybe we want to pursue that a little bit more. But, yeah, you know, the Auburn-Georgia game has been one of those that has been a little bit hard to figure out, you know, but the teams have played well on the road usually. Now, Georgia's kind of had our number here a bit lately, with the exception of our national championship year. You know, they've had a pretty good little run on us. So, you know, it's one of those things where it'd be nice if we could sort of get that thing turned around a little bit. And you know, coming into the season, everybody was real high on Aaron Murray, and certainly he is a good quarterback, but he's had some games where, you know, really he hasn't played very well. You know, I know they eked out a win over Florida last week, and it was a big win for them. But, you know, he struggled in that ball game. And I know Florida's defense has played much better than Auburn's defense has this year. But we have had our moments, you know, where we've looked a little bit better. And hopefully, you know, if we can get a good defensive performance and keep this thing from having to be where we got to score in the high 20s or 30s to have a chance to win, then it's possible that you know, we can, with Jonathan Wallace being in there, have a chance to, you know, sort of keep that thing close and have a chance to win it at the end, you know. So that would be exciting. You pick it back up, Stan, if you want to.
Well, yeah, and my technical difficulties continue on my end as well this week. But, yeah, I mean, I best I could tell when I was when my connection went on the blink was, I was saying that, you know, Georgia has had a couple games where they just didn't play, you know, and I'm sure the coaching staff's going over the South Carolina game as well as the Kentucky game to see maybe where Georgia, you know, where their weakness was in those two games in particular. But
right.
You know, we've
I want to interject something right there. You know, early in the year, we were so high on our defensive line and thinking, you know, teams that wanted to pass against us, they weren't going to be able to block Dee Ford and Corey Lemonnier coming off the ends. You know, but, you know, it's been one of those things where it's been sort of a disappointment to me in the pass rush that we've got. You know, when teams – we know teams are going to throw and we're coming after them, you know, we haven't always gotten there very well. And I thought that would be the difference. And you go back to that Georgia-South Carolina game, and I realize we don't have a Jadeveon Clowney on our team, but they couldn't block South Carolina's ends. You know, I mean, those guys were back there on Murray in a hurry all the time. And you'd think that same recipe, you know, might help us a lot. You know, of course, Florida got to them quite a bit and caused Murray to throw some interceptions and things like that. You know, if we're going to win the game, that's what's going to have to happen. Now, can Corey Lemonnier and Dee Ford and some of those other guys, you know, step up and make some plays that give us a chance? You know, that's what it's going to take. You know, if we let Murray sit back there and pick us apart, he will. You know, they're going to pick us apart.
I think Van Gorder being that, you know, what all is going on at Auburn, and then it, this being a team that he coached for several years, I will say this: Georgia plays the style a little better to Coach Van Gorder's liking. I mean, he's really seemed to struggle with that, you know, with the spread,
right?
And with Murray and them being more, you know, back oriented, more Murray throwing downfield, I really think, if we're going to play a game the rest of the year to do anything in the redemption department, this is the opportunity. It's at 6:00. You know, it's a night game at Jordan-Hare. Obviously, these guys, they read the papers. They know this might be almost Coach Chizik's, you know, last hoorah. I mean, we're going to have we're going to have the Gator Nation pulling for us.
Can't hurt.
You know, maybe Coach Muschamp picks up the phone and calls Coach Van Gorder and says, "Hey, here's a couple friendly tips." I know Florida would like to be, you know, in that title game. So, you know, I have a feeling, and again, I've been wrong every time. So maybe I just should say it's going to be another blowout, and use the reverse psychology. But something tells me, you know, with Wallace now with four quarters under his belt, that maybe, you know, maybe we line up and play Georgia a little bit better. And, you know, even at Ole Miss, I mean, I don't know if you caught any of that, Vic, but it, the last play of the first half turned that whole game around. I mean,
well, yeah, it did.
I mean, Ole Miss is fixing to go to the locker room with a lead and was looking, you know, decent. And,
right.
I mean, the last play was almost the way South Carolina, the way we did in the title game in 2010. It just, I mean, it just broke them completely. I mean,
right.
We were already leading, of course, Carolina. But you know, a last play of the half, I mean, what a momentum. And then for Ole Miss to have to kick off. So, I don't know. I playing at home, but you're right. I mean, the defensive line has been the most disappointing, maybe the most disappointing position of at least where it seemed to be a real strength and it didn't pan out. So,
well, and for us to be a good team this year, you know, of course, anytime you've recruited the way we've recruited, you keep thinking these guys are going to start playing up to their potential. And,
right.
You know, in all honesty, that's what happened to us this year. Really, across the board, every position on the team really has
played subpar.
Not played up to their position and to potential. And, you know, if that happens, you know, with all the unanswered questions that we had coming into the season, you're going to get, you know, something similar to what we've gotten.
Well, and, you're right. And, I mean, I guess, obviously, if I had thought that not a single – in fact, you know, the offensive line for most of the season had played well. I mean, sometimes the play call – I mean, sometimes, again, we would have a hot hand, maybe a Trey Mason. He would have, you know, he'd make a run or two. All of a sudden, he's out of the game. There just never seemed to be any – and, of course, I mean, we've gone on ad nauseum about – you know, the play of Kyle Frazier and Clint Mosley. Love both the guys, but,
right.
I mean, it started there in receivers. I mean, that's well chronicled. So, like I say, you can go every position on the field. I don't know if we can find one, but almost like you said at the start of the season, you turned out you were right again. I mean, Cody Parkey he's had the MVP season, you know, at Auburn of any of the players on the team. So,
right.
I'm just hoping that maybe, like you say, with it getting down to one or two games, that, you know, we can hope that
win one for the Gipper, maybe.
Well, you know, that's right. I mean, that's
because I think that's where we're at. You know, in all honesty, and you know, obviously, I will go into that game and have all my Auburn stuff and certainly be thinking that there's a way that we can pull it out. You know, my head tells me, you know, obviously that it's going to be a difficult task. You know, you look at the Georgia defense with the way they're starting to play, and I know Ole Miss moved the ball on them some a little bit. That Ole Miss offense is really not a bad offense, to be
You're
honest
right.
with you. And for them to
You're
wind
right.
up with only 10 points and
that's pretty
and really get shut down, you know, after they got those 10. So, and you know, the way Georgia's defense played against Florida, it's like those guys are gelling, and there's some big time NFL players on that Georgia defense.
Right.
You know, I don't, it's just hard for me to see a real way for us to consistently move the ball against those guys, you know, and I don't know that we can, and, you know, there's a recipe there where we maybe could, you know, pull the upset, but it's going to take a lot of things going our way. Maybe some plays in the kicking game. Maybe, you know, if we can get some pressure on Murray, we could get him to throw a couple picks. You know, there's a recipe where, you know, we got good enough players that we could win the game. And obviously, Jonathan Wallace is going to have to play, you know, at least a really good game for us to have a chance. You know,
right.
So, you know, I don't feel too good about it going into it, to be honest with you. And Georgia has so much riding on the game. You know,
right.
I mean, it's hard to think that they would take it lightly. You know, I thought the game where they might actually have a problem was this last week against Ole Miss. Now that it's down to just one game for being in the SEC championship game, it's hard for me to see those guys coming to Auburn. And now that might be a little overconfident, you know, with, you know, the way that we've played folks, you know, so we might have that working in our favor.
Right.
And I think, you know, Auburn people are going to come out well for the Georgia game, you know,
sure.
even though it's been a very disappointing season. So I think at least initially the enthusiasm and the crowd will be there like Auburn folks always, you know, have a tendency to do. So, you know, there's a chance that if we could get off to a good start, you know, we might can make that thing interesting. And, Yeah, I go back to that LSU game. You know, that Auburn environment was rocking that night. You know, that
right.
was an awesome environment. And if we could, if our guys could just hang in there, you know, it's gonna create a lot of pressure for Georgia because they already have a lot of pressure. You know, knowing that all they have to do is beat Auburn to go to the SEC championship game, and really with where they're at, BCS wise, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that those guys could still play for a national championship. So.
Well, you know, think about it, Vic. If they went out, go 11-1, and they were somehow able to say beat Alabama, in the SEC title game, I mean, all of a sudden now they're sitting there 12-1 SEC champions, and again, Notre Dame, USC playing USC out there, that could be a loss.
Right.
The Kansas State quarterback, I'm not sure what his status is. If he is,
right.
maybe lost. I mean, did you hear today? I mean, I heard he was still
I
out.
Had, no, I didn't hear. But, yeah, that would make a huge difference there.
Well,
it may make
a huge difference this weekend going to TCU. I mean,
well,
Gary Patterson has already proven that he's,
right.
you know, he's capable of pulling the upset. And if it's
exactly.
a game's at Fort Worth and
right.
if Klein doesn't play, all of a sudden, now
right.
you're Oregon.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Well, you know, you don't have to be first. You just have to be second, you know.
Well,
so,
you're right.
You know, I mean, so, you know, there's that real possibility.
There's a ton
so they
of
have,
riding
they have
for Georgia.
There's a lot riding on that game. There's no doubt about it for those guys. So it's hard for me to imagine those guys coming in and not coming in ready to play. But at the same time, we said it all year. We still have good players. You know, we just need some good things to happen to us. We almost beat LSU, who almost beat Alabama. I mean, football's
right.
crazy. That's why sports are awesome, you know, because
well,
you never
right.
know what's going to happen.
Well,
you know, you never know what's going to happen.
So, I mean, we're just going to, you know, hope for the best. Now, I mean, from what I read and reading between the lines and what some of these administrator-type people on some of the sites say, I mean, it seems to me, especially if we do go 3-9, it seems likely that Coach Chizik's probably going to be shown the door. I mean, I hate it for him personally. I've always liked him. I actually was one of the few that liked him early on, thought that the 5-19 was not indicative of the abilities he'd shown, at least as a coordinator. And, you know, and then we get the chance. You know, we got the 8-win season after what, the 5-win or whatever it was, Coach Tubbs last year.
Right.
And then you get the national championship. So I thought, well, you know, I had read this guy right. But, you know, so I hate it for him. But it does seem like from what – if any of the stories that are coming out of Auburn is true, that there's at least a 50-50 chance that there's going to be a change. And it's probably 20-80 that Coach Chizik is gone. I mean, is that kind of your feeling on it?
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, to be honest with you. And I'm not even sure I guess, you know, if he was to run the table. Now, obviously, if we were to somehow beat Georgia Saturday, you know, the possibility of him saving his job, the little bit of talk there that there is about that is going to pick up a little bit of steam, you know, a little bit of speed. But my frustration level with that is, okay, if we're able to beat Georgia, you know, the credit is going to be given a lot to Jonathan Wallace, you know, for us to be able to happen, because I think he'll have to have played really well for us to have a chance in this game.
Right.
And that's even going to almost make me more frustrated from the standpoint that, you know, you and I have been calling for that guy to be the starting quarterback for a long time.
Right.
You know, at least give him a chance. You know,
well,
at least
right.
give him an opportunity. Well, you know, that's even going to make it almost worse to me that, you know, Coach Chizik waited till, you know, week 9 before putting that guy in as the starter. And so I don't know, you know, that even that is going to be able to save his job, other than maybe, like I said, us beating Georgia and Alabama. You know, I just don't see how that he can survive. And, you know, then the risk is that the sort of the wild card for him to me is this recruiting class that he's assembled, you know,
right.
because invariably if your coaching staff gets changed, you know, guys that have – they've worked hard to build relationships with, and that's, you know, you can say people come to universities to play for the university, but we all know in reality they're coming because of the relationships they have with those coaches for the most part.
Exactly.
So when that changes, you know, then does the recruiting class fall apart? Well, you know, that's an issue.
Do you think that that's got a lot to do? Well, and at this point, throw out some names you've heard, and I'll see if it's some of the ones that I've heard, because some of these guys, I think, at least some of the names I've heard, I think could possibly come in and close, you know, where even though, you know, I mean, it's not the same guys recruiting them, but give me some of the names that you think that you've heard that you think are realistic or a possibility.
Well, you know, I think it's still a lot of the same names that we talked a little bit about last week. You know, Jimbo Fisher. I keep hearing Jimbo's name mentioned a good bit. Jeff Fisher. You know, I don't know how much credibility that has, but that's certainly being thrown out there. And then there's a big group of folks that's really, you know, talking about, you know, the possibility of Bobby Petrino, but then you got another group of people that acts like that would never happen. So,
right.
I don't know. You know, those are all names that would intrigue me as far as their coaching ability. And
just to throw a couple more names out there, what about Charlie Strong, and then what about Gus?
Right. You know, we talked about those guys last week, and I think that both of those guys would be great guys to bring in. And if you're looking at trying to salvage the recruiting class, I think both those guys could. You know, now obviously Charlie Strong has the SEC background. Of course, he's at Louisville now, so he may not be recruiting some of these higher caliber guys that Auburn's recruiting, because you're not going to get those guys at Louisville. You know, so, but he does have good name recognition. He's still one of the only teams that's undefeated. And, you know, he's had a great year. So I think that gives him some credibility coming in. And that's why I hope that our administration will, if indeed a change is made, I hope that it happens quick, you know, so that then I hope that we can get a new coach named quick, you know, because I think this year that is going to be even more important. And I know, it, you know, people are going to argue that, well, it's important that you make sure you take your time and get the right guy. But I think when you're sitting here with a top five recruiting class, and everybody knows that recruiting is the lifeblood of a program, you cannot run the risk of dragging this thing out and watching these guys, you know, wind up at other schools and you having to play against them.
Well,
you know,
and Vic, here's another thing. Honestly, there's no excuse this time. I mean, they know. Dr. Goose knows. Dr. Goose, if you're listening, you got a couple of Auburn grads here. You know that if a change is going to be made, he's got to at least feel like there's a possibility tonight. Even if there's a way for Coach Chizik to save it, he's got to know in his heart of hearts. I mean, he's already said enough things. There's been enough talk out there between the Board of Trustees and boosters. I mean, come on, Vic. It's not a secret to anybody that this is a possibility. He's got to know. I mean, you tell me how many guys run a business, vibrant business like Auburn University, Auburn Athletics is, and you don't have some ideas of who you want. There will be no excuse for this search to go off unless they know it's a guy and they know he's coming, but they can't say anything because maybe one of these. I mean, Charlie Strong and them, they're 9-0. They, you know, they got a real possibility at a BCS game. You know, I don't know how all that I don't know how the dynamics of that will affect it. But you're right. We've got to get a guy in there, somebody that at least can indicate something to these recruits that, you know, we're not running, you know, a Three Stooges operation.
Right.
Or we will lose these guys. And
right. Another thing about that, you know, talking about these guys that are, you know, I would think, you know, especially coming off the heels of winning a national championship, and I know we play in the SEC, which for some guys that may be a plus, for some guys that may be a negative because it's such a tough conference. And in the West right now, it's such a tough division. But the reality is, you know, Auburn's a great job. Auburn's a great place to live. You know, there should be a lot of guys that would jump at the chance to come to Auburn, especially with what we're going to pay somebody. You know,
right.
So my thinking is, let's find a guy that go ahead and pull the trigger and make the move. You know, I don't care if it is Charlie Strong and he's going to a BCS game. I don't care if it is Jimbo Fisher. You know, those guys make changes all the time before their seasons are over. You know, sometimes they wind up coaching their team in the bowl game. Sometimes they don't, you know. So, you know, we've seen that play out several times at several different universities. You know, it's never an easy thing. You know, it's always an awkward thing. And usually I think the trend now is for those universities to just to go ahead and cut ties with those coaches, you know, and then put in an interim guy for the bowl game. And that would be perfect for us. You know, let's go ahead and have Charlie Strong cut loose from Louisville and so that he's going ahead and recruiting for Auburn and assembling his staff and figuring out who he's going to have and all of that, you know. But, I mean, if the money's right, and I just believe in my heart that Auburn is a job that people should be willing to make difficult choices for to come to, you know.
Well,
and if they're not willing, willing to do that, then let's find the next guy.
You're right. I mean,
right.
Auburn is a top 10 job by any measure. If you look at the stadium, the facilities, the fan base, the money we can pay. I mean, you look at it. We just won a national championship 2 years ago. We've had Heisman Trophy winners.
Three straight top 10 recruiting
Heisman,
class. Right.
I mean, John Heisman himself started, you know, coached at Auburn. I mean, this is a school that is right there with anybody in the country. And I think when you find – when people come and check it out, that's what you hear from people around the country. So, no, you're right. And if I'm Charlie Strong, let's say it is Charlie, and he's looking at that class that we can potentially sign, I don't think if he's wanting to come to Auburn, he by all means he wants to follow up on this class.
Right.
With the classes we've already, you know, the last three we've signed, I mean, if he would be willing to come to Auburn, he certainly wouldn't himself want to pass up on this class, especially if he's going to be changing jobs just for a bowl game. I agree.
Right. You know, so I just think in our situation where, you know, the decision to make a change is so clear, then I just think, you know, that we go ahead and get things lined up, and then, you know, all that stuff happens behind the scenes anyway. Nobody talks to anybody. You know, it's always done through agents. You know, those agents call and says, you know, look, Auburn's contacted me. You know, do you want me to entertain thoughts of you coming to Auburn? And so all the negotiation and stuff has happened behind the scenes. Those coaches can say, no, I haven't talked to Auburn, which would not be a lie. You know, they got somebody that is talking to Auburn for them. And, you know, so it, you know, all that stuff can be worked out. It could, you know, if we go ahead and get on it. And, you know, I think today, if I'm not mistaken, I think Joker Phillips was let go. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did hear that.
Yeah, you know, so Kentucky went ahead and made the decision that at the end of the year, you know, that because at this point in time, you're not playing, you know, Kentucky's in the same situation we're in. You're not playing for a bowl game.
Well, you're right.
You know, there's nothing really to play for. All we got left really to play for is to possibly spoil Georgia season or spoil Alabama season. The kids and Coach Chizik, they're gonna play hard in those games. They're gonna coach hard in those games, whether they know they're gonna be back or not. You know, I don't know that there's any disadvantage for not going ahead and pulling the trigger if you know you're going to. You know, now like you said, if there's a chance that Coach Chizik can somehow right this ship and upset Georgia Saturday and then, you know, either upset Alabama or play Alabama a really good game, and it looks like maybe we've kind of turned the corner a little bit and we got this new freshman quarterback in there and everybody's excited. And, you know, if there's a chance that you're going to let him somehow keep his job, then obviously you wouldn't do that. But if you've already made the decision that at 2-7 with what we've seen so far, you know, this thing is over, knowing probably we're not going to beat Georgia and Alabama, then I say you just go ahead and announce it. I don't understand why, you know, I don't understand what there
I know,
is.
You're
way,
right.
In that way, other coaches can put their names out there and let us know that they're interested, and we can go to work.
Well, you're right. And, I mean, that's really what Dr. Googe needs to do. I mean, I'm telling you, I've read things, I've seen things. There's things going on at Auburn. I mean, you've never, ever seen as few of people that was at the game that left at the Texas A&M game and that showed up at the homecoming game.
Right.
A veteran sports reporter in this state said they had been covering Auburn for 40 years, said they've not seen this. So, now, Dr. Googe, unless he has some. And here's the thing about that. Even if you decide to keep Coach Chizik, I don't think, again, unless you can't read the tea leaves at all, there's going to be some changes on that staff regardless. I mean, right. Even if Coach Chizik comes back, I can think about three or four coaches that I'll be shocked right. if they come back. And then it begs the question, could you go out and hire decent replacements knowing that this guy is maybe on a one-year deal?
Right.
I mean, it's almost like maybe who would you get that's going to roll the dice that, hey, if they can turn it around with Coach Chizik, then they'll continue on, or otherwise they may be out.
And a perfect example of that is, you know, you got Coach Sunseri, you know, who went to Tennessee this year. You know, and I don't know if Coach Dooley is going to be back or not. My guess is kind of that they're going to let him go too. And I'm hearing a lot of rumors that, you know, that they're really working hard to get John Gruden to agree to come to Tennessee, which would be quite a coup. You know, I don't know if that'll happen or not, but, you know, that's what you hear. And, you know, and what a bad career choice for Coach Sunseri if he winds up, you know, only getting 1 year at Tennessee. Now, somebody will hire that guy, you know, somewhere else. But but still, you know, that put his whole career in an uproar, you know, whereas, you know, at Alabama right now, you know, you're playing for national championships every year. Things are rolling pretty well. I'm sure he got a nice pay raise to be the defensive coordinator at Tennessee. And I'm sure he'll have if I'm not mistaken, he got a two-year contract. So, you know, he's going to be paid for a couple of years and probably have a nice buyout as well. So he's not going to be hurting, but at the same time, career-wise, you know, it ain't helped him. It probably also didn't help him that he gave up 721 yards to Troy on Saturday. Can you believe that?
I mean, I talked to
721 yards on the SEC.
I talked to a Tennessee friend of mine today, and 700. Well, it was combined almost 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was Coach Dooley had said that he was on some teams that didn't have that kind of yards in the whole season. somewhat tongue in cheek, but.
Right.
You know, but still, no, I'm sure Coach Sunseri is probably thinking, I wish I was still coaching out linebackers in Tuscaloosa, but, you know, I mean. That goes back to our issue, though, again.
Right.
I don't see any way, and especially the way the fans have turned on this thing. And
right.
You know, again, there's a sports writer I read a lot, and he talks about just what the apathy that Auburn people have. I think Auburn people, you know, and again, it wasn't just this year. Even though last year's record was, as we've talked about, you know, is a very, very respectable 8-5 after losing as many people as we lost off the 10 title team.
Right.
But when you look at 45-7 to Georgia, 42-45-10 or whatever it was to Alabama, that LSU thrashing, that's why where people can't, you know, they can't take it. They can't take being, you know, you going into the third quarter and the game's over.
Right. Well, there was so much talk about how this year, you know, it wasn't necessarily that the record had to be better, but those kind of losses had to go away.
Exactly.
You know, you may not have a better record this year because most people, you know, realize that, you know, hey, there's still a lot of unanswered questions. But you felt like with the recruiting that Coach Chizik had done, you know, these 45-10, 42-10, 45-7 type scores, you know, should be a thing of the past. Well, they weren't. I mean, Texas A&M just beat us as bad as they wanted to. You know, I mean, it's just hard to understand, to be honest with you, how it could be so bad. And you know, I don't know that New Mexico State is going to be the miracle cure to any of that stuff
we hope it is.
Honestly,
I'm not so sure that they're not one of the worst teams in college football. I mean, obviously they are. I mean, there's no question about that. I think it was great. I'm glad the kids got a win. I'm glad Jonathan Wallace got a win in his first start. As a starter, he's 1-0 kind of thing. And there were some guys that looked like they had fun yesterday. And that's all well and good. But, Vic, in the grand scheme of things, you know, like somebody said, it's 7-0 at halftime against that team. I mean, I wasn't for sure that Coach Chizik and them were going to be allowed to come out in the second half.
Exactly.
I mean, it's every week when you didn't think it could get worse. Luckily, we finally, the second half, looked like a team playing a team like we were playing. I mean, 35,
right.
Basically, what, 35 to a 7 in the second half is about
right.
what you'd expect in both
exactly.
halves against a team like that.
Right.
Where I made my mistake, besides being Kool-Aid, is I read too much into three great – I mean, I really believe that the players we had – and maybe we have them. See, I don't know how much you've heard about some of this other stuff, but I've heard about some internal issues, chemistry is so big. I mean,
right.
chemistry is just huge with the college football team. And
right.
I guess, you know, when you started seeing some of the – off the field stuff, and you know this guy getting sent home from the you
right.
just kept I kept just blindly saying no, you know, because Chizik's a good guy, and these guys are, you know, we got the family, and there's
right.
just some. I'm telling you, Vic, there's something not right down there, and more
yeah,
than just
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You're right, and to be honest with you, with the talent that we've recruited, you know, there's no explanation for what's happened at Auburn. You know, there's just no explanation.
That's right.
I'm sure, you know, I mean, I don't have done any kind of study on this, but I'm sure it's unprecedented for a team to have three straight top 10 recruiting classes and then to have a season like what we've had. There have
right.
always been some teams that's underachieved based on their talent, but I'm not sure there's one ever that's gone 2-7 and endured the kind of blowout losses that we've endured this year on the heels of three straight top 10 recruiting classes.
Well, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just unheard of, you know. Obviously
it's deeper.
Things are wrong.
It's deeper.
And that's why you just say, no matter what, it's just time to, and I hate it for Coach Chizik, but it's just time to make a change. It's time to bring in some new blood and get some new enthusiasm, you know. And not that they're having a great year or a perfect year or whatever, but just sort of to – invigorate the Auburn family, kind of like what Hugh Freeze has done at Ole Miss. You know, I still am very
right.
impressed with what that guy's done over there, you know, or what Coach Franklin's done at Vanderbilt. You know, I don't care. I know it's a bad Kentucky team, but to go to Kentucky and beat them 40-0,
impressed me. No, that caught my eye, especially
yeah.
When Georgia beat them 29-25 or what, 28,
exactly.
whatever it was.
I'm telling you, you know, if somebody said, hey, we're going after Vanderbilt's coach, that's not going to disappoint me at all. You know, that's a guy that I think, you know, can do some great things because, you know, he's got those Vanderbilt kids playing like I ain't never seen Vanderbilt's kids play.
Well, you're right.
You know,
here's my thing, even thinking about now, the more I think about it, as we're talking this thing out, which like a charge, I want somebody to come in there because I've heard some things about – you know, some kids thinking that maybe they've had some entitled, you know, they're entitled because of maybe
mm-hmm.
the number of stars. And
right.
I'm ready for somebody to come back in there and be a little bit more like Coach Dye. I mean, in other words, you know,
my way of the highway, baby, and clean it
that's
up.
That's right.
And get the kids in there that love Auburn and it's going to lay it on the line. Because to be honest with you, you know, I'm not saying kids are just laying down out there, but I don't see anybody really laying it on the line. Do you see kids out there laying it on the line?
No, and I mean it's being reported by veteran reporters again that are close to the action, seeing things, stopping just short of saying, you know, guys were not maxing out the effort. So.
Right.
No, I mean, whoever, I think Charlie Strong would be one of those guys, but even maybe Jimbo Fisher, if he brought in some guys with him, like Mark Stoops, I want people in there that's in people, you know, and again, it's a privilege to go to Auburn, it's a privilege to go to any SEC school, you need to come in and bring your lunch pail with you every day, this
right.
prima donna, you know, NFL kind of, you know, I'm come in with the swagger. I mean, people's got to earn their swagger. And
right.
And again, going back to what we said, some stuff we were talking about off the air, you know, about the way it was when Coach Hall was there and Coach Dye and some of those guys. I mean, it's legendary. Coach Hall getting up in Doug Smith and Donnie Humphrey's face. I mean,
right.
Unfortunately, and like him or not, and I don't particular, you know, I'm not a big fan, probably because, you know, he's hard to beat, but. You don't read about some of that stuff with Coach Saban. I
No,
mean, I
that's right.
guarantee you, you come, you start walking around, you start doing some of the, you know, you're gonna know about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you may end up on medical red shirt, but you, I mean, it's not, you just don't last down there. And I mean, we gotta get some of that back.
That's right.
You know, in as much as that's a problem, I mean, you can't, you, that you don't have at Auburn. I mean, that is some of the first time in my life, whether it was, no matter who it was down there.
Right.
But
Well,
so.
it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, obviously, this weekend, the big weekend, as far as, if there is any kind of hope that Coach Chizik could save his job, obviously, he's got to beat Georgia. I mean, that's just the bottom line, and
That's right.
I'm sure he understands that. And
And like
for
you said,
it's one of those things, Stan. We don't even know what's happened already. He may already know that he's not going to be back. I mean, you never know. The relationship he has with Jay Jacobs and Dr. Goose, I mean, they may have already sat down and talked about how, look, Gene, we hate it, but, there's just too much here for us to overcome. We're going
we
to have
gotta
to
go in
make
a different direction. I mean,
and
it's
go in a
just
different direction, that's just part of the business. Coach Chizik will understand that. He's not going to be happy about it, but he's going to understand it. He's not an idiot. He wasn't going to survive at Iowa State if he didn't start winning more ball games.
well, that's right. And I mean, and you're right. You just can't, you can't, you're right. I mean, it's a business. When 60,000 people show up,
Right.
I mean, you, it is a business. I mean, and you don't make, what, $10,000 a day kind of money. They, you know, he, I mean, people are aware. They know it's performance based. And not many people, as it's been written several times in the last few weeks, not many guys can go, say, 2-7, maybe end up 3-9, and 0-8, 0-8, losing to the, you know, the Vanderbilts, and then they have a great team this year, or very, maybe not a very good team, but still, you probably can't go 0-8 with Vandy, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and survive at Auburn. I think if you look traditionally, that's just not. That's not the recipe for winning. So, I mean, or for keeping your job. So, anyway, I guess I can say it'll be interesting to see what happens this week in terms of, you know, the rumors and what have you. And then, of course, obviously, a big, big game. It would be great to beat Georgia. They've been beating us with quite a bit of regularity here in the last few years. I'm about sick of that.
Well, just the fact, like I said, they got so much riding on the game, that would be very, very sweet, and it'll be the same way when Alabama rolls in, if they take care of business with Texas A&M this weekend. When they roll into town, with national championship implications and all that, that's what's going to be fun for Auburn fans. If we can just somehow figure out a way to stay in those games, that'll be fun, just from standpoint of, possibly being a spoiler there, pulling the upset. It gives us something to play for. And, that's all we got at this point in time. That's all we got to play for. And but it'll be exciting. Alabama looks good. And of course, they had a tough game Saturday night, but they pulled it out. But I'll go into that Georgia game. I'll go into the Alabama game thinking, come on, guys, we got a chance. Let's pull it together and pull one out, So that's kind of the Auburn way and the Auburn spirit. And I don't care if we are 2-7, we'll keep fighting.
Well, you're right. So we'll talk. You know, like I say, we'll get back next Sunday night again, and listen, we'll review what's taking place on the maybe the coaching front this week, at least what we've heard, and then go over the Georgia game and see see where we are. But anyway, so War Eagle Vic, it was another great show to be with you, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, Stan. I appreciate it, buddy. War Eagle.
War Eagle.